Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You cannot grow and become mature as God desires you to be if you are disengaged from the body of Christ. You have to be connected. God has made it that way. You see, there are these different components that bring about a healthy spiritual life. And if you take any one of them out, there's going to be a deficiency.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, in a message titled, The Marks of Christian Maturity. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So we pick up today once again in this fourth chapter, and as we mentioned, the first 16 verses of chapter 4, the primary point or emphasis the apostle is making has to do with Christian unity, but Christian unity is connected to Christian maturity, and we see that in the verses that we read together today. And so we're going to focus on this idea of building up the body of Christ in verses 13 through 16. Those will be the passages that we look at primarily today. But there the apostle elaborates on what it means, or what he means by building up the body of Christ. Because remember, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are there to equip the saints for works of service so the body of Christ can be built up. So what does that entail, the building up of the body of Christ? Well, as we look at the whole statement here, the first thing we see is that it will be a lengthy process. So this is something that's happening throughout the duration of the life of the church on earth. It's something that's happening by a process throughout our lives as well, individually. And the process is leading us to unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or a mature man. And then he said, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is the goal to which the church will one day attain, the goal of total maturity. That's where the Lord is taking us. He's taking us to that place of total maturity. No church has arrived there yet. There's no perfect church. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't want to go to that church. It's got problems. Or, you know, people are sort of on a quest to find the perfect church. You will never find the perfect church. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. The church will not be perfected and brought to total maturity until we are there in the presence of the Lord. There's no perfect church. No church has arrived. There's no movement or denomination that has arrived there yet. We're all in a process. And finally, there's no individual Christian that has yet arrived at that point of total maturity. But the big question is, are we moving in that direction? Are we moving in the direction of maturity? Are we making progress? And that should be our desire, that we would be progressing toward. The important thing is that we're moving in the right direction, that our trajectory is set toward maturity. And that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at the marks of Christian maturity. And here in the verses that we're looking at, there are four things that Paul highlights. One is unity, the second is truth, the third is love, and the fourth is fellowship. And so we'll look at each one of those today. Now, we've talked in the past about unity, and we've talked about it in quite a bit of detail, so I'm not going to go into that in any in-depth fashion today, but let me remind you, previously we talked about the need to strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit And we looked at the importance of being careful not to divide with other believers over non-essential matters. So even though we want to do our best, we endeavor, put forth a strong effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we cannot fail to also realize that there is deception out there. We've got to be aware of that. There are people that are bent on leading others astray in regard to the faith. So we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be conscious of it. We've got to be on our guard against it. So Paul here warns us that there are those deceitful persons who are going to attempt at times to lead us astray. And here he paints a picture that is the antithesis of maturity. It's a vivid picture of spiritual instability. So the immature Christian is a person who's vulnerable to being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The stronger we become, the more mature we are, the more we advance and develop in our faith, the more stable we will become. So those who are always running after some new doctrine or some new spiritual experience, although they sometimes appear to be more spiritual than other people, the fact of the matter is they're spiritually immature. You see, a mark of spiritual maturity is stability. You're grounded. You're established, or you're becoming grounded and established in the truth. So you're not running here, there, and everywhere looking for some new thing. Tossed to and fro, as Paul puts it here. And then he speaks of every wind of doctrine. That's such a perfect description of false teaching. It seems to blow in the wind from place to place around the world. So we have to be aware of that. But the antidote to false teaching is being rooted in the truth of Scripture. You know, I've seen this over and over again. For Christians and churches who have a good, strong foundation in the Scriptures, this kind of stuff really, it really never affects them. It's almost like the Scriptures give you, you're immunized to that. You get, you know, it's like getting a shot, and you're no longer vulnerable to it. Now, that brings us to the point here, the first main point, and that is the truth. So Christians are going to be living in unity with their brothers and sisters as they mature in the faith. They're also, at the same time, going to be getting more and more established in the truth. The truth, of course, here is a reference to biblical truth, the truth of God's word. When it comes to the truth about God, the truth about us as people, the truth about where we came from, why we're here, where we're headed, the answers to that are all found in the Scripture. Now, speaking the truth, the word here, there's just one Greek word here, and speaking is a bit of an interpretation by the translators, but it's a good one. But the word is actually truthing. So it's what Paul is literally saying, if you translated it literally, truthing in love. Oh, we don't use that kind of a term, truthing. What is that? But here's the thing. Since that's the word, it probably includes more than speaking. So you could say living the truth in love. You could say doing the truth in love. And of course, you can as well say speaking the truth in love. So a maturing Christian is a person who is getting more and more established in the truth, so that we're speaking it, so that we're living it, so that we're doing it. But of course, that all really would start with believing it, right? Believing the truth. Now, there are some today in evangelicalism who are suggesting that the Bible is not necessarily telling us the truth when it tells us certain things. There are those today that are suggesting that there are certain aspects of Scripture that are incorrect in the information that is being given to us. But you see, if we're going to live the truth, do the truth, speak the truth, we've got to first of all believe the truth. And that's the point that I want to make here. What we're really dealing with here is the issue of biblical authority, biblical inspiration, biblical inerrancy. And this idea that, you know, the Bible contains these errors is a denial of biblical inerrancy and an open door to rejecting anything in Scripture that we don't agree with. Belief in the inspiration and the authority of Scripture is an all or nothing proposition. What I mean by that is this. You either believe that the whole Bible is the Word of God, and you have, then that's the authority. If you disbelieve that in any way, if there's any part of the Scripture that you say, well, that's not the Word of God there, then you just open the door for any other part of Scripture to be questioned as well. So it's an all or nothing proposition. Either what Paul said is true or it's not true. Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Either that's true, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or we have no basis to conclude that any Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we believe, I believe, in the inspiration, the authority of Scripture. I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And when it, at the end of the day, what this really comes down to is simply it's a matter of belief. So there is the believing of the truth. There is the knowing of the truth. One of the marks of the Christian life is that we are in the pursuit of the knowledge of God's truth. A person who's maturing is a person who's committing themselves more and more to the understanding of the Scripture, the study and the understanding of the Scripture, and then the speaking of the truth. So the mature believer lives the truth, does the truth, speaks the truth. It's not easy sometimes to speak the truth in our culture, is it? Sometimes it's not easy to speak the truth in certain environments. Sometimes we're intimidated, and out of fear, we draw back. And occasionally that can happen to anybody. It can even happen to a mature believer occasionally. But if that's a consistent thing where there's a timidity to the point that I'm just not, I can't engage with anybody conversationally with a presentation of the Scriptures, that's a mark of immaturity. It shows that I need to grow in this area. So the mature believer lives and speaks the truth. But then Paul says here that it's not just speaking the truth, but it's speaking the truth in love. And this is sometimes where we see a real breakdown. There are people that appear to be mature because they know the Scriptures. They have an intellectual understanding. They know lots of verses. They can quote them verbatim. And maybe they know certain aspects of theology. Maybe they are acquainted with certain false teachings and so forth, and they're able to give a good argument against that, but they cannot do it in love. So on the one hand, it seems like, wow, they are so mature. Look at the Bible knowledge they have. But because they're unable to communicate that knowledge in love, it really shows that they're not quite as mature as they might have thought they were, or as others might have thought them to be. Because speaking the truth has to be coupled with love. We have to speak the truth in love. One commentator said this, and I thought it was worth quoting. He said, "Truth becomes hard if it is not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it is not strengthened by truth. There is no other route than this to a fully mature Christian unity and experience." So I think he put that quite well. Speaking the truth in love. Now, some of you are familiar with the term apologetics. Apologetics doesn't mean to say you're sorry for being a Christian. Some people say, well, What do you mean? Why do I have to apologize for my faith? No, the word means to defend the faith, to put forth an argument in favor of the faith in this case. Now, in the realm of apologetics, oftentimes you see this very thing that we're talking about here. You see people who are very brilliant, and they're quite capable at defending the faith, but so often they do it without any sensitivity, without any respect toward the people that they're contending with. They honestly just do it without any love. Now remember, when we are speaking the truth to people, they're going to be a lot more likely to receive the truth if it's coming to them in a respectful manner. That's why I think it's unwise in our dealings, say, with people of other religions to just come right out and attack their religion. That immediately puts a person on the defensive. And it's not to say that at certain points we don't challenge them in regard to their religion. We obviously are going to need to do that at certain points. But we just need to really be wise in how we do that. We also have to realize that many of the people that we will be contending with at times and having disagreements with are Christians, true Christians, our brothers and sisters who have been led astray with some wind of doctrine. They're being tossed to and fro. They're being tripped up by something that's not going to endanger their soul eternally. It's just going to keep them from maturing in the faith. So we want to challenge them on it. We want to see them grow out of it. But we have to be careful to remember that while I'm doing that, I have to respect this person as a brother or sister in Christ. So having that desire to grow in the truth, that's a mark of maturity, coming along in our understanding of God's word. Love, speaking, living, doing life in love. And of course, all of this unity is part of the bigger picture of what Paul's saying here. But the fourth and final thing that I want to throw in here, and that's found really in the 16th verse, is fellowship. So we're looking at the marks of Christian maturity: unity, truth, love, and now fourthly, fellowship. Fellowship is so important, and I've been emphasizing this over the past several weeks as well. Listen, you cannot grow and become mature as God desires you to be if you are disengaged from the body of Christ. You have to be connected. God has made it that way. You see, there are these different components that bring about a healthy spiritual life. And if you take any one of them out, there's going to be a deficiency. So let's say that you're big on the truth. Man, I'm in the Word. I study the Word. I know the Word better than anybody else. Great. Be in the Word. Study the Word. Know the Word. And let's just say that you love too. But, you know, it's kind of hard to love if you're not around people, right? So you might love theoretically. You know, it's like the person who says, I love the whole world. I just don't really like people. It's easy to sort of love like that, isn't it? But then you meet the individuals in the world and you're like, well, wait a second. This is different than I thought. So this component of fellowship, it's got to be there. You have to engage. God has set it up this way. So again, looking back at verse 16, and I'm back using the New King James Version here. He says, from whom the whole body, and notice the term that he uses, terms, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So look at those words, joined and knit together. You see, there's no such thing as a mature Christian who isolates him or herself from the rest of the body. You can't do that and possibly become mature. Maturity takes place in this context of being joined and knit together with other people. That's how it happens. The biblical picture is an ongoing engagement with God's people. It's 24/7. It happens all the time. It's not just one day a week. But since this is what we have, we have to do our best to not fall into the trap of thinking that this is all that it is. So when we come, we need to come ready to engage with other people. You know, I'll give you a good way to approach coming on Sundays. On your way here to church, say, Lord, I'm coming today. I want to be ministered to by you. And I pray that you would show me how I can be a blessing to somebody else. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow somebody else to be a blessing to me. You'd be amazed what'll happen if you pray that prayer sincerely. God will start bringing you into contact with those other parts of the body that are necessary for you at this time to build you up and to strengthen you. And you will be doing that for others as well. I've got to engage. You've got to engage. Nobody else can do that for you. You've got to take that step to do it. And understand that this is part of maturing. If you're going to mature, if you're going to become the person that God intends you to be, this is something that you must do. You must engage. So these are the things. These are the marks. Fellowship. Love. Emphasis on the truth, the foundation of the truth. And as we're doing these things, as we're focusing on these things, as we're growing in these things, then there will come as a result of that, unity will be the natural thing. Because as Paul here is talking, his primary topic is unity, but then remember he connects it to becoming a mature man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the more we mature in the faith, the more we will grow in unity together. And you know, the more we're living in unity together as God's people, the stronger we're going to be, and the more effective we're going to be, and the more able we are going to be to make the impact in the world that God desires us to make at this time. So God help us to pursue these things, to seek to grow and become mature. And if there's any one of these areas today, any one of these four areas that you look at and say, I'm doing good here. You know, I'm studying, I'm in the Word, I'm learning the Scriptures. Great. I'm seeking to, you know, reach out to people in love and so forth. But, you know, maybe this area of engagement, I need to be more engaged. Whatever fits with where you're at, let the Spirit of God today show you that. And let him then lead you into that place that will lend itself to greater spiritual maturity in your life. Because that's the goal. That's where Christ is ultimately taking all of us.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource. It's a DVD titled, The Neighborhood.
So, Brian, I'm thinking about how you used to come home and tell me the stories of these pastors that you were meeting with that used to be gang members, and how that desire to make this into a movie just kept growing in you.
Yeah, those guys, their stories were absolutely fascinating. I would talk to these guys, and we developed friendships, and they would tell me their stories, and they were so powerful, just the grace of God in their lives. And, you know, every time I would hear the stories, I would think in my mind, this needs to be a movie. This is so exciting. And, you know, as time went on, I just thought, you know, we've got to do something about this. Anyway, I just felt like, okay, we're gonna do it. We're going to step out and we're going to make a movie. I got in touch with Riley Taylor, you know, a young friend of ours who's a filmmaker from up in Seattle. And I brought him down and we sat down in my office with all the guys and Riley. And we said, hey, let's talk about making a film about your lives. And so for our listeners, we're recommending that you pick up the DVD, The Neighborhood, and watch it. And then, you know, even get some people over. You're going to watch it and you're going to say, you know what? I got to show this to my cousin. I got to show this to my friend because it just is that impactful. So we hope you'll pick up a copy of it.
Yep.
Again, this month's resource is a DVD titled The Neighborhood. You can order the DVD, The Neighborhood, by going to our website, brianbrodesen.uk. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the Donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the DVD, The Neighborhood, which you can use as an evangelistic tool, as a testimony of the power of God that transforms lives. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.